This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you. This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it's good morning to you, and to you, and especially to you, Habibi. Coming back from Lebanon, I thought we should open with something magical. As we say good morning to you, here on The Unview, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
إلى كل اللي بيحبوني انتوا وحشتوني قوي وحشتوني ما تجيش.
And that is the magical music of the land of Lebanon, which is so beautiful actually. Very special guest in studio that we will be chatting to. We've got Adam Howard, who's director of the Johannesburg Big Band. He'll be playing soon with Joseph Clark. We've got Cirque Infernal. We'll be chatting to the producer and the performers of this phenomenal production. You know, he's the crazy man that does the motorbike, like the wall of death with the motorbike on a stage. It's kind of incredible stuff. And then, of course, the Queen of Darkness. Oh, Varane. Queen of Darkness. And then we open the show with the one and only. He is, he's actually been fortified. You know, Tim and I in the same year. It's quite interesting. Top comedian, top actor, star, funny man, radio man. You did it all. Nick Rabinowitz. What do you think of the Arabic music? What do you think of the music from Lebanon?
Shukran, Habibi. It is wonderful.
Habibi. Beautiful.
Yes, it fills my Arabic soul with delights. Turkish delights.
We're not doing it.
Sorry. Lebanese delights.
How's the Jew?
The Jew and the Leb.
How the Jews?
The Jew and the Leb. We should do something.
What should we be doing?
I don't know. Organized crime.
Don't we do it already?
Yeah.
What's new? Nick, welcome into studio. It's the first time I've had the pleasure of interviewing you.
Yeah.
I've loved seeing your show in the past, and of course listening to you on Reed Rekha's show for years.
Yeah.
She's great. I mean, wonderful. And this new show of yours, Fortified. I mean, you rocked and rolled this particular show in Cape Town.
Yeah.
When did you turn 40?
I turned 40 8 years ago. I'm just reviving it. No, I turned 40. I'm 41 now, actually.
Are you?
So these jokes are more than a year old, some of them. And I had a sort of midlife wobble at about 40, but actually I think it was worse at 41.
Okay.
So yeah.
Is it? It's because I'm preparing myself.
Are you ready?
I don't know.
Hold on tight.
I'm in the 40. I actually am the year of the horse in the Chinese horoscope. But yes, so after a successful run with his one-man show in Cape Town and turning 40, comedian Nick Rabinowitz decided that the best location for his midlife crisis would to be to move to Four Ways.
I think fake Tuscany is really what brings on a midlife crisis, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, just performing for 10 nights in a fake casino. That'll do it to you. Okay. Have you guys tried that?
Never.
Don't.
I guess I will.
No.
When we get to our 40.
No, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing.
Great. Please don't tell him that 40 is the new 30. It's only confusing him much further. Is it confusing you?
No, that's just the nonsense you write on press releases.
I just think it's you're as old as the person you feel. How old's your wife?
My wife is, I think she's 40. I think so. So she's had 3 kids. She's had 3 kids. Thank God she's been spayed now, but it's a lot.
How do you balance family, aging, government anxiety and Trump fears? This is some of the stuff that this Fortified is about.
Yeah.
And then, of course, having 3 kids and then dealing with all that stuff. And, of course, you've got bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. It's all happening.
Well, that's not quite there.
But it's coming.
It will come.
You need all that money. You need the degree. What are the...
I didn't have a big bar mitzvah. I was 12 when my parents sat me down. I was at the Waldorf school, the only Jew in the school. And nobody suspected I was Jewish, including me, which made it traumatic when my parents sat me down on my 12th birthday and said, there's something we need to tell you.
And what did they tell you?
Well, I said, oh my God, I'm gay. And they said, no, you're Jewish. And then they put me into a class because I had to learn Hebrew from scratch. They put me into a class with 5-year-olds. Never forget walking in, 35-year-olds and 12-year-old Nikrabinovitz.
Okay.
Jewish Gulliver's Travels.
I love the joke. How are you? So, and then you obviously did your barmy, and then you went off.
Yeah.
Born and bred in?
Cape Town. Yeah, Cape Town.
So you didn't go to Hirsch, you didn't go to the, you didn't do
no,
the,
no, I went to the
normal school. To,
like no, it wasn't, I wouldn't call Waldorf normal. Yeah. Do you have Waldorf in Scandinavia?
I actually went to a Waldorf.
You also
school.
Went to, yeah. Can you do Eurythmy?
Yes, I can. Dance around with flowy fabric.
Yeah, and the copper rods up the person's bum in front of you.
Yeah, but they focus on like creativity and stuff like yes. that. And I loved it.
Isn't it amazing? You know, because you can't explain to someone who's not been, but like, it's we have life skills. This person and I.
Okay.
We could plant a veggie garden. You could.
So
this is the phenomenal Shelley De Inferno.
Hello.
Who plays Varani?
Varanella.
Varanella.
Queen of Darkness.
The Queen of Darkness from Cirque Infernal.
Yeah.
It's
Do you play the recorder in the show?
No.
Okay.
So, because now clearly,
yeah, no, I've messed up the order here.
No, not at all, not at all. But because you both went to the Waldorf school,
yes,
and she's from Sweden, and you're from Cape Town,
yeah,
and you're not a Jew, and you're a Jew,
yeah.
And the interesting thing, you're blonde, and you're not blonde. But here's the thing: you are burning things on stage, and you're creating madness across the world. And Nick, to some extent, what are you doing on stage?
Not that.
Not burning anything. Were you burning Trump or the legacy?
Although sometimes I'm on fire,
but I'm not literally.
Okay, so you went to this very special school. We're going to chat about what do you think made the school particularly good for the two of you? I mean, it's because for two different parts of the world, you see, there's always a common denominator between people.
I have to say, on the normal school subjects, I'm not very good. But on all the creative stuff, I'm actually really good. They kind of focus more on each pupil and their learning direction and stuff like that.
But what did you learn, Nick?
Well, like, you know, it's absolutely right. We didn't maths. I don't remember mathematics being a big focus. But I don't know about you, but to this day, I can still calculate the number of guardian angels in a ball of mohair to the nearest guardian angel.
I forgot that.
We must go and revise.
And the two of them were seriously getting it.
We made little felt elephants. We both learned how to crochet our own underwear.
Oh, I got that down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crochet your own underwear. I don't know.
Knitting.
Danny, we're gonna come back to you in a moment about motorbikes and the wall of death. That's going to happen soon. So tell me, the show, what is it focusing on? Obviously, being 40, is Trump a bug in a thorn in your side?
No,
he's the best.
Well, he is, because
comedy.
You can't really write that. You can't. Yeah, he is the comedian. But I did some stuff because of the anti-Semitism that arose in the wake of Trump, and it took me back to my first experience of anti-Semitism, which I discuss in the show, which happened at the Jewish Sports Club in 1989.
What happened?
Well, I don't want to. It's like
people got to see the show.
It's like the. I also just talk about the land, but I don't want to give too much away.
Go and see the show. What makes you laugh, Nick?
What makes me laugh?
Do you know when you guys were chatting and I looked at your side profile, you actually reminded me that smile a lot of Robin Williams. Just by the way, seriously, the way you were laughing, you were screaming, you opened. I just thought, like, I've got a little bit of Robin Williams sitting in the studio. But what makes you laugh? What do you find funny? Because a lot of people say, well, you know, you're a serious human being. I mean, you don't kid around with your kids all day. I mean, it's yeah. So what makes you laugh? What do you find funny?
I do actually find my kids funny sometimes.
Yeah, until they drive you mad.
Yeah. I don't know. I like making comedy from things. And sometimes it's bad. But when it works, I enjoy it. I like watching other people. I have a joke about Scandinavians. It's not really a joke. It's
Let's
a
hear it.
Question. So Scandinavians, when they climax, do they say, "I'm finished"?
No, I think it's
not if they're from Sweden.
No, it's more like a singing sort of. You know, Swedish and Norwegian sounds a lot.
Can
like
you
singing.
Do it for
Ooh,
him?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, no, not really.
Wow!
Jokes
thank
on
goodness.
Me.
Thank goodness we played that adult. That's lovely. Thank you.
It's
for
not
that.
Really like.
I've never heard that sound before, actually.
Me neither.
Yeah, I'm more into what other. Yeah.
Some things are not funny at the time, but then many years later, they somehow. I did I just spoke about it the other day. I was in Peru, like in 2005, and I went in for a massage with a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and it was awkward. The guy said, change. And he didn't leave the room, the massage guy. And I had to change in front of him. And then he bumped the table. And then he like accidentally flicked my right testicle. And then when they were supposed to put the towel, he put the towel over my head. And then at the end, only at the end when I walked out, did my friend say, well, that was great, wasn't it? And I was like, no, I was traumatized. And she said, but they're blind. And I didn't know that.
They were blind.
They were blind.
Blind. Yeah, I want to tell you a little later in the show, we're going to chat about the Shakespeare Schools Festival.
Yeah.
Now, and this is interesting because this year's festival, there is a school performing Romeo and Juliet that are completely deaf, and there's another school performing Macbeth that are completely blind. The blind school and the deaf school, which is just, it shows you. I once went into a restaurant, and this is not a joke.
Well, that's what they say about Romeo and Juliet. Love is blind.
That's just the deaf schools.
Oh, that's the deaf people. Sorry, I got
it
confused.
This guy's going to kill us. Nick Rabinovitz. But here's the thing. In France, and I'll tell you something very special in Paris, I'm chatting to Danny Varane.
Yeah, Varane.
Varane. In Paris, I went to a restaurant once where you're served by blind people and you're fed completely in the dark.
Yes, I've been to that in Tel Aviv. They've got a few.
Yeah, so you sit in the pitch black, and it's incredible because you're tasting all the flavors of the food, and you're served by blind people.
It was because the waiters are naked.
Naked?
Yeah, naked.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody mentioned it.
I didn't think of that. I thought they were serving bratwurst, but it's actually...
Are we going back to that when you told your parents that you were a gay at 12? I know they were serving bratwurst. You know, that's... No, not so good. Nick, coming back to this phenomenal show, I know that you're going to leave shortly. What do you like to give the audiences? What do you want people to take out of it?
We generally like them to laugh. I think we're simple people, comedians. Mm-hmm. We don't want to. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a serious message somewhere in it. Mm-hmm. If you read between the punchlines. But it's not my main intention.
It's get people to have a laugh, to have a joke.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And to forget their problems.
It's therapy for us as well. Like to get it off our chest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you want to get off your chest today? anything interesting?
Well, I had this interesting experience where I was on a search and rescue mission in Cape Town recently with a suicidal man who wanted to jump off the mountain. and then we found him, and then he ran away, and I had to chase him. Have you been to Cape Town yet?
No, it's my first time.
It's a very big
South
mountain.
Africa.
And I had to chase him for like 10, 15 minutes.
On this mountain?
On the mountain. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do when I catch him. Mm-hmm. And then I caught up with him. And then I was just like breathing heavily. And he was breathing heavily. And then I was like, hey, I'm Nick. And he was like, come, I'm John. Why are you following me? And I thought I'd just get that off my chest.
Okay. All
right. He's still alive, I think.
Okay. And now that's like something else. I'm going to throw a couple of things at you.
Yeah.
There's just some opinions. Jacob Zuma, jail or not?
Jacob Zuma, well, as...
Former president of South Africa.
It saddens me that he's gone because that was 9 years of material. And so I'd prefer him not to have gone anywhere, let alone jail.
What's the best stuff you got from him?
Oh, the best stuff?
Yeah, give me
that's
some
like
of
asking
stuff.
Me to choose between my children. are you familiar with our former president?
No.
No?
No.
Well, he had, by the time he left office, how many wives?
Seven, I think.
No. I think six. It was five? But he'd been married a couple more times.
Oh, but he had many other concubines.
Yeah, I heard he was going to finish on 16 because of a misunderstanding at his first wedding where the priest said, four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer, which is a mathematical joke that people from Waldorf don't often get, but you did. See that.
Four squared. Very good, very good. Okay. Donald Trump, what do you think?
Donald Trump.
What is wrong with this man?
Look, just because a lot of his just because he's orange and a lot of his supporters have been seen doing that Hail Trump, that doesn't mean he's a Nazi.
Oh, that is good. Oh, I love you. You're good, eh? That's very good. Right over the head. A nachi is like
a little orange.
A squashed like bad.
It's I don't know what you call it in Scandinavia. It's a...
Apelsin.
Apelsin, yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Apelsin. Okay, we'll keep that in mind.
Sounds like an apple, but it's not.
A current president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
There's nothing. We've got nothing on him, really. A buffalo and a thing and McDonald's, and we don't know what to talk about.
Cool guy.
He's a lovely guy, but there's nothing there for us.
Brexit, Theresa May.
Theresa May dancing with the Maasai this week in Kenya. Beautiful. Why white people shouldn't dance, other than if you're the queen of darkness. Everyone else, no.
No. Okay. Or if you're gay. Because well, gay guys can...
Yeah, but I don't want to say anything about that.
Okay, cool. Because you leave that at the wall door.
To my bar mitzvah, yeah.
No, correct. Does your mom come and watch your stuff?
Yeah.
What does she think?
She generally doesn't like the things.
And they never do.
She's like, why did you have to talk? Because I mentioned recently that when I was learning in the final year of school, we had to learn to waltz for the dance. And I said to the audience, which is true, I had to learn it from my grandmother because I was living with my grandmother in Matric because my mother had a nervous breakdown. And she was in the audience when I first did this.
Really? You told the audience?
I told the audience.
South Africa. And then I said,
to be fair, I said, well, actually, technically, she just came to Joburg for a facelift, but we didn't want to tell her.
No, she just was in Tara.
Yeah. She didn't like that. So why'd you have to tell them that?
How does she look?
How's fantastic. She looks amazing.
And how's Papa Bear?
Huh?
How's Dad?
How's who? My
how's
dad?
Father, yeah.
Dead.
Oh, sorry. To hear that. Long laugh.
Thank you.
Do the kids get to see some of your stuff? Because you're often on the Comedy Central, the TV.
No, we don't have the TV. We're very strict, walled off, and we had a no TV policy. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch TV as a kid?
Not in school, but as a kid, yes, I did. Oh, I guess yeah. We were not like super extreme Waldorf.
Yeah, we weren't either. We just couldn't afford a TV.
I've got to just tell you something, Shelley.
Yes.
I love. How many tattoos have you got on your body?
I mean, there's so many now.
Have you ever counted?
I started just seeing as one big tattoo.
It is one big tattoo.
It's just one all over body tattoo right now.
Sure. It's incredible.
I still got a few gaps, so I'm still working on it. But I've been collecting for about 10 years now. So
10 years. Because, I mean, beautiful stuff.
Thank you.
Where's the secret spot where you have a tattoo?
That would probably... I don't know. I don't think I have one.
But is it on the bum, maybe? Or
I have one on the bum, yes.
On
yes.
The boob?
I don't have one on my boob, no.
Okay, just a good question, guys. I just thought.
Well, it's no longer a secret, though.
I just thought we'd keep everybody in check. Okay. Very special guest, the director of the Johannesburg Big Band. Adam Howard is in studio. Hello, Adam.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good morning to you and
good,
to you.
Thanks.
And
all good.
Especially to you, Habibi. That's how we do it. Yeah. That's how we've changed the line. Just because of...
Yeah,
well. You might as well just do it. Just what you do. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure. Pleasure, Alan.
You have been doing big band music forever. Okay. Well, not forever. You're not like...
well, yeah.
A long time. And then you're heading up... You head up the big band. You create... commercials. So he's like, you know Charlie Sheen in Two and a Half Men?
Yeah.
He does all that stuff. So when you hear those jingles on radio, he's got those studios that do all those jingles. Nick's a great voiceover artist. We can use him.
Good.
Remember?
Hashtag
money.
Winning.
I'll get your number.
Hashtag cash. Jewish, remember? Agents, big money. All right. Speak to his mother. is your agent your mother or wife?
No, none of them.
Not yet?
No.
But that'd be good.
Eh?
That'd be good, but you wouldn't, see much of it. So coming back to the big band, you've performed across the world.
The big band, no. The big band,
not the big, but you yourself.
Yes, I mean originally I'm from the UK. Mm-hmm. I also went to a weird school. It was a music school. Same thing, Waldorf weirdos.
So how do you do maths in music school?
No, I mean we had to do it until 15, I think, and then we just did music. But yeah, I was born and raised in the UK, but I came over here when I was 24 to play in orchestras. I played at the State Theatre Orchestra. Mm-hmm. I've been here for 21 years, and you know, I'm a trumpet player. Formed the Johannesburg Big Band about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. The big band is a swing band. It's I mean, people say big band and they think it's a big band, but it's another word for swing band. You know, the sort of Rat Pack years, if you saw Frank Sinatra, those big bands, Michael Bublé, Robbie Williams, Frank Sinatra. And it's called a swing band, and it's it is a big band. It's 17 players. We've got four trumpets, four trombones, five saxes, and a four-piece rhythm section, which is piano, bass, keys, and guitar. So, yeah, we formed that 8 years, and we've been busy on the corporate circuit, doing lots of corporate events, high-profile weddings, and we've even been into the public arena at the Lyric Theatre for a few performances. And this next performance is with the amazing Joseph Clark.
Joseph Clark, incredible, by the way. He played
amazing. He's very famous for his, Queen music. I mean, he does Freddie Mercury
brilliantly.
Sometimes better.
I think better than Freddie Mercury. Actually, it sounds
people
terrible,
say that, but
but I mean, he really, really rocks it, and did all over the world.
Yeah.
It's very interesting when he told the story that that most people didn't know that he got pipped by Kevin Bacon to play in the movie Footloose.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, so he was pipped. He was meant to play that particular role.
What happened?
It's very interesting. He had another gig and he didn't.
He was busy.
He could be Kevin Bacon.
I believe that. He is so busy. No, I mean, I've known Joseph for, 20 years. And, we've been talking for years about maybe getting together and doing a big band show. And just organically, it's happened. We've managed to get a date at the Sun Arena at Times Square in Pretoria on the 23rd of September at 3 o'clock. And we've been speaking because big band music is very close to Joseph, Joseph's heart, and he talks about this during the show, where, growing up he had big band music playing, and so it's going to be a very personal show for Joseph as he texts his audience on a different journey to what they may be used to with Joseph.
And we're going to do some of the magic in a moment. Nick, do you like big band?
Yes.
Can you sing?
No.
Come on. You must be able to sing something.
No, I can sing you a couple of bars from my bar mitzvah portion.
Let's do that.
Would you like me to sing it as the 13-year-old version
Please?
Of myself?
Thank you.
That's it. That's Hebrew for getting... It's the story of Noah, actually. Getting the T-Rex in the ark was a nightmare.
I've got to tell you something. You emulate so much of Robin Williams. I've never actually...
What?
I don't know if anyone's ever told you that. I just love it when you do some stuff. Listen, people can interpret in many ways, but I just love that you can do that. Who's your favorite comedian? It's a hard question, but
I have crushes. I go through phases. At the moment... there's so much.
But who inspired, who inspired you? So as a young person...
My godfather inspired me. He was a comedian.
Who was that?
His name was Percy Seef, and he was an actor. But before the days of comedians in South Africa, there were just people who told jokes and things. Mm. But he had stories, and I used to collect them. A lot of them were Afrikaans stories, because he was a Boere Jood, which is an Afrikaans Jew, a Jewish farmer. Sort of, it's hard to explain to Scandinavians, but
Harry Sepsel.
Yeah, he was my first comedy mentor.
Comedy is about telling stories.
Yeah.
What's your favorite story?
My favorite story.
What's a good story that you're going to tell us? You're sitting at the table, I want to tell you this happened when I was this.
Yeah. I like the story of my first date, which was 1989. Happened? I took Karen Udelman on a date to see Pretty Woman at the Protea Cinema in Cape Town, which I don't know if you're familiar with it, Shelley, but it's opposite the Stanhope Bridge on the main road, around the corner from the park where the guy sold marijuana behind a tree. And I say I took her on a date, my gran dropped us, and it was Pretty Woman, and we went in with the popcorn and everything. First date, 13 years old, and Karen put her hand on my thigh halfway through the movie, and I missed the best scene. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Pretty Woman, but where Julia Roberts confronts the mean shop assistant with her shopping and says, big mistake, huge. I missed all of that because of the hand on my... And then the blood started rushing up my thigh. And I know what you're thinking, but... It skipped my dick and it went all the way up and down my arms into my palms, and they started sweating profusely. And then I couldn't take her hand. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't.
Sweet.
And then also my gran had snuck into the theater and was right behind me going, this is your opportunity.
Your boba.
Yeah. I like that story.
I think it's very, very cute. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. That's the... Nick, your show, Fortified, happens at Monte Cassino Theatre.
Yes.
It's happening on from the 12th to the 22nd of September.
Correct.
People must get the tickets, and you're brilliant.
I just had to cancel a show there.
Why?
I found out it was Yom Kippur, the holiest of holiest.
Oh, but it is, that's next week.
On the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I had a show that night.
So you had to cancel. So it's not happening on the Wednesday.
It's definitely not.
But you're doubling up on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll get the double show. Don't worry, we don't want to lose money.
Well, the Saturday yet. Technically is not the Saturday matinee. I shouldn't be doing either.
I know. You have just ruined Judaism completely. the Rov is going to be very, very upset.
All 23 of them.
Yeah. But I must just tell you, it's it's fun. It's fun to go and laugh. It's fun to watch. You know, I just think that laughter is seriously sometimes the best medicine.
Yeah, but and sometimes medicine is also
or
the
music,
best medicine.
Or music. Or medicine's the best medicine. Oh. Or music. And then also going to watch something like Cirque, which is going to take you to another dimension, is also something that's quite incredible, which we're going to get to in a moment. Nick, I wish you really well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Shana
Tova.
I'll run to see the Jews.
You're going to that radio station.
Yeah.
And thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The one and only Nick Rabinowitz. Thank you for being with us.
Come and join us at the Waldorf soon in Göteborg.
Göteborg.
You people are crazy. I love it. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. Nathan Rowe is not with us today as he runs around with some of my camera crews all over the country. We do other work. We're going to do a live read in a moment. And then I want you to get that trumpet ready.
My weapon of mass destruction.
Yes, mass destruction.
Yeah.
Get it ready.
Don't have Donald Trump, but we've got a trumpet.
Ah, very good.
Same thing.
So on that note, what does it mean to be a man in today's world? There's a lot of confusion about this and a lot of anger directed at men. I wonder why. I actually needed Nick Rabinowitz for this particular one. I don't know. This is a conversation about masculinity. Everyone needs to hear. It's raw, it's authentic, and it's a series of 6 podcasts. Craig Wilkinson and Khalil Osiris. I think I said that correctly, started a premiere of this particular show, a premise of true masculinity and a gift to the world. Equality relevant to men and women that provides profound insight into why men behave the way they do. It impacts the 3 cores of desires at the heart's level of every man. And the question every boy needs to be answered on his journey on manhood. The 4 big lies about masculinity, the wounds that masculine hearts have, and the one thing every man wants from woman more than sex. What is that? We'll find out, because it's Man to Man Talks. It's brought to you by Carling Black Label. Remember, with Carling Black Label, you've got to drink responsibly, not for sales, to persons under the age of 18. Don't miss the show, Man to Man, proudly brought to you by Carling Black Label. Now, on that note, let's get that out. What are we playing?
Well, I thought I'd give you a little bit of a classic tune called Misty. I've got a trumpet in my hands there, and I've got a little mutant so I don't blow your microphone up.
Okay, let's go. We got this going. That was really stunning. Now, on that note, I think what we're going to do is, because we're going to be talking about Cirque in a moment, I want to do something else. So we're going to YouTube your big band stuff.
Ooh.
And then we're going to play to something.
I'm going to play over the top of it.
Mm? Yeah, why not?
Will that work?
Why not?
Hey, I'll try anything once.
Okay, so we do crazy things here. Do you sing?
No.
Do you sing?
Not even on the shower.
Not even on the shower.
Not even on it.
I've got to just tell you, you are a very, very good-looking, sexy French. French people are beautiful.
She's Swedish. She's not French.
I'm talking to you, Danny.
Already?
Yeah, oui, oui. Did you not get my impression? I was talking about what Nick was saying when he was 12. I told my mother when I was 12. That was really bad. One shouldn't be doing this. Okay, so now this. So what is the YouTube site? Because people can listen to your stuff.
Yeah, just go onto our YouTube channel, Johannesburg Big Band. We've got some amazing videos there.
Johannesburg
Big Band.
Big Band, there okay.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll find something there.
And what are we going to listen to? What are you going to play? What would you like to play? Because well, you've got some stuff here.
Maybe just play the clip. Maybe New York, New York. We've got a great version of that with the great Timothy Malloy singing, I think.
Oh, we do love it. But you're gonna do something. Let me just now hold on. I've got to look up all this. You know, it's like. You know,
sure.
It's difficult. You
well,
know, this.
Well, at
is,
least you're prepared.
All right, so we're going to play a little bit of this. This is for New York, New York. But get that thing ready.
Okay,
you ready? Let's see if we can pull this off. Before we discuss how to ride a motorbike on stage on a wall of death and how the Queen of Darkness burns everything. So we'll talk about it in a moment. And don't forget, Cirque Infernal is going to rock Johannesburg. Rock Johannesburg. Are you going to Cape Town? Not this particular trip.
We hope so. Soonly.
Please.
Yeah.
And I want to hear all
we have
about
a lot of requests for Cape Town too.
Because it is an unbelievable show. You've been here before?
Never. Never with this show.
Not with this particular show?
Never.
Okay. Have you been to South Africa before?
Sure. 4 or 5 times.
Okay. Yeah. And your first time?
My first time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lovely. We're talking to Cirque Infernal, but we're going to do some music, some happy things this time. And this is the Big Band with Timothy, the one and only Timothy Malloy. Okay, are we on? And Chiana Sky. Yeah. So.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be among the
please, bubble bullshit.
I think that is so cool. I love it. Love it. That is really cool. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
Rodney. Fine.
Adam Howard.
Mike, it's fine. Don't worry.
That's the wonderful Timothy Malloy and Chiana Sky. Two phenomenal South African artists with the Johannesburg Big Band. And I'm happy you're in studio. Great. Now, Cirque Infernal. We don't have the space to burn things. And we don't have the space for the motorbikes. Firstly, tell me about the show. A very special guest in studio, Danny Varane.
Exactly.
From Paris.
Oui.
From France.
Yes.
And Shelley da Inferno from Sweden. Stockholm,
yeah, but London-based.
Okay,
yeah.
But London-based. Yeah. Firstly, welcome to South Africa. I'm so excited to hear about this show. Tell us all about it. Firstly, what can people expect?
Well,
because a lot of people who traveled abroad, sorry to interrupt you, but have seen Cirque du Soleil, they've seen they've seen
good
different type of things like that.
Yeah, if you compare it to Cirque du Soleil, Cirque Infernal is a kind of Cirque du Soleil dark.
Ah,
so that's it.
Yeah, with a rock and roll twist, a bit of gothic, a bit of heavy metal thrown into it.
Really?
Yeah. Which makes it, you know, people find that quite intriguing and interesting. So,
okay,
it's definitely a new take on circus.
Okay, all right, lovely. And of course, the whole concept of the cirque concept is that there's obviously no animals. It's using people and using
exactly.
Yeah. So now tell me, let's begin with you, Danny. You're the producer.
Yep.
And you're the performer. When did you create the show?
Well, I first created it in 1997 But I was too young to make a production, so I had to go with my motorcycle show. Mm-hmm. I had a motorcycle stunt show with my brothers, which come from my father, which come from my grandfather. So we do it since a century, motorcycle stunts. And so 5 years ago, I re-decided to make this show happen. And 5 years ago, we did it, and now it runs good. But it took me a long time to figure I could do it.
Okay,
it's a huge work, and my background is only how I can say it's a live show. I'm a performer, so everything I do, I don't learn it at school. So production techniques, show calling, music, sound mastering, and everything. So I had to do by years until to be ready, and now it's ready.
So when your grandpapa, what motorcycles would they use those days?
I still have the bikes.
Really?
They are Indians motorcycles from 1924.
Sure.
I have them in Paris.
It's insane.
Not in this show because they are too old, but I still use them sometimes, and they are very good. Very many people love them.
Obviously, I mean, the turbines, I don't own motorcycles, I don't know much about them, but they weren't as quick. They weren't able to do as crazy as the stunts as modern technology.
At that time, you mean?
No, obviously now. Yeah. But now we've seen modern technology, we've seen... So the stunts have changed. But what were the stunts back in 1930? What were the stunts like? What would they do?
Believe me, we don't do a lot more than 100 years ago. It's just that we do it faster, much faster.
Really?
Yeah, we go... in my shows, look, I started when I was 14. And so it's 34 years now. I'm 48, and so I saw the changing of my act of the globe of death, the wall of death. These two particular stunt shows, and the speed just went two times faster. So we go very, very fast now. We have reliable motorcycles. We use very brand new motorcycles now. We don't use old motorcycles. So we stand on the bikes. We know there will be they will make no troubles to us. So we can do some tricks that are very complicated.
Okay, take us through some. Okay, so firstly, because you are the specialist here in this show on the wall of death.
Yeah.
Okay. Describe the wall of death. What can people expect on the wall of death?
I mean,
this is some crazy stuff.
If you are less than 40 years old, you will probably do not know what is a wall of death. It's a typical carnival funfair stunt show. Mm-hmm. It's a motorcycle riding inside a wooden barrel of 8 meter, 10 meter diameter, 6 meter high. People climb on the top with stairs, and they watch the motorcycles, the riders reading inside. So my idea was, because we left the carnival stuff, I'm into circus since many years now. I wanted to do the wall of death into a circus, but people has to stand from outside. They can't see it through the wood. So we built, with my dad, we built a wall of death. We call it invisible wall of death. It's made of metal meshes. So people can see really through it and rewrite inside. So it's the only one in the world. Mm-hmm. There's only one invisible wall of death in the world. It's now in Joburg. In the theater. And I think it's the first time that the theater, the Joburg Theater, has motorcycle stunts.
I mean
the theater, I have to thank the theater because they allow us to do our show on the way we do it normally in our circus.
Yes.
You know?
But it's a great theater because it's got a lot of depth.
It's a beautiful theater. It's an opera. It's not even a theater. It's more than a theater. It's an opera. It's beautiful. So we have plenty of space to do the show like we do. And we don't want to scratch a carpet.
It's a strange question, but it's an important question. It's dangerous. Do you get scared? Is it fearful?
Yeah, sure. If you go too, fearless, you will forget the safety process. So we have to be scared. Before the stunts, on the night or on the evening, or sometimes I'm driving my car and I'm thinking, okay, this can, because accidents happens. In the history of this act, we lose many performers. But now, as I said, I do it for 34 years now, so I control every steps of my show. Mm-hmm. And when I go...
Are you alone, by the way?
No. We have two partners.
Okay. Your brothers?
No. My brothers left for their own. So now I created a team.
Okay.
And Fearless Riders.
Fearless.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, you just said it and you put it, and that's why I'm saying bomb on the head. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about a comedian having a lach on stage and a wonderful Macbeth aria here and there, or a big band or performing. But this is stunt stuff. And this is stuff that
yeah, I actually saw this act, I think. Was it? Yeah, about a year ago, 2 years ago. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. So people must go and see the show. It's
and like, kids love this. I mean, obviously you make it clear, listen, don't do this at home. But I mean...
No, they can.
No, my 5-year-old couldn't believe it. He's like, what? I think he wants to be a stunt rider now.
Yeah. You know, when all the kids, 5 years old, 10 years old, in my area, when they go on their bicycle, they're right in front of me and they say, hey, Danny, look. And it... hands off or stuff like this, or stand up on the bike, you know, they want to do like me, you know, hey Danny, look, I train.
Okay, really?
they want to come in the show with
this
us
is
you know
in Paris, eh?
Yeah, because they know we tour the world, you know.
Yes.
And I was born in Paris, but I live now in a city called Osegore, so surfers will know it. It's one of the 5 best waves of the world.
Yeah,
it's close to Biarritz, you know.
Yeah.
Osegore.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Oh good. It's equal to Jeffrey's Bay. I was in Jeffrey's Bay 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. And it's very similar,
but you've got to be fit, you've got to be agile and able.
Yeah,
I'm getting to two quick points. You lose people in this type of act. People.
Yeah, in the early days.
In the early days.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I mean,
happen.
80 years ago.
It's death-defying. Okay, that's.
Yeah,
that's,
but
that's,
they were reading no helmets. They were really crazy at that time. You know, like for example, also
French crazy people.
The technology, the tires of the motorcycles at that time, you know, a little bit pressure and boom, you lose the tire and then you go down. So now we have very strong material, motorcycles, helmets, lighting, security. We have everything now.
Which is magical. And then the next question, which I think is even, is that when does it end? Does it end? Like, your dad is now helping you. I would imagine your father is now in his 60s. Or late 60s. And now he's helping you. Does he still ride?
No.
No. So when is it time to take the bow? Is there a time? How do you know? It's a good question.
Look, the oldest World of Death rider was 76 years old.
Okay, so you can go.
I have time left.
You have lots of time.
I have time left.
Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. Cirque Infernal opens very shortly at the Joburg Theatre. It opens tonight, yeah. It opens tonight, and we're going to talk a bit more about it. Now, another very special guest in studio is Shelley de Inferno.
Hello.
And the Queen of Darkness. Now, what do you do in
the
show?
Well, in the show...
What can we expect from you?
I will take on this dark character. She's a bit of a bitch, actually.
Okay.
And she
I love it. She's a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Basically the story is about journey through the underworld and sort of coming back to life. We have a an act that is a tragedy. One of the performers has a tragedy and has to go through challenges. And I'm basically the queen of the underworld, so I'm sort of hosting the show but not talking.
Okay.
Just taking the performers to where they
And what do you do?
I'm doing fire in the show, so I have
fire?
My own. Yeah, I have my own act, which is fire performing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's a good question: how difficult is fire performing?
Well, I mean, same like.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's,
same like Danny says, fire is very important to remember that it can be dangerous, but there are, you know, tricks you learn and you learn how to handle it, and you can sort of tame the fire, and. You know, there's ways, definitely ways of performing where you just end up learning your tricks. And so I would say it's pretty safe if you just know
how long
basics.
Have you been doing it?
For 5 years now.
5 years?
Yeah.
Have you ever burnt yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah. I've had not very bad burns, luckily.
Hair on fire?
No hair. My friend had actually hair on fire, but we do.
I'm kidding you.
Our safety thing, though, is that we wear wigs. So if something caught on fire, we can just throw it off and just have to like.
Okay.
Whoops.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what other acts are in the show, Danny?
We have, it's very particular, yeah. As Shelley says, we have a pitch, a story in the show. Mm-hmm. That's a particularity of my show, is that when I created it, at first I wanted to tell. I had a story to explain. Mm. The story is about daredevils. Daredevils is a particular family of circus performers. They are not jugglers. They are not dancers. Mm. Daredevils, they are the ones who put their lives on the act. Most of the of these, they are attractions of the biggest circuses in the world, mm. but nobody remember the names. They remember the name of a famous comedian, clown, whatever, but never the daredevil.
The daredevils, yeah.
But they are important in the show because they attract people. So my idea was, being a part of a family of a daredevil, I wanted to make a story to explain the daredevil life. So the pitch is, it's Wilson, it's played by Wilson Stays, a French tightrope walker. Mm-hmm. He has a tragedy in the beginning, and then he do sway pole. A sway pole, he's inside the theater. I think it's the first time in the world, not even South Africa, that we have a sway pole. The sway pole is 10 meter high. Mm-hmm. Wilson goes on the top of it, and it's swaying. And he goes like this, you know, left, yeah. right, and he does tricks at 10 meters. It's amazing. So we have Wilson. Then he walks on a high wire at 6 meters, with a bar. He goes on a chair. We have this.
No net.
No net. It's the particularity of Cirque Fendel. It's okay. We don't want
it. Daredevil. No, yeah.
Daredevil. We are circus daredevil. Mm. But we don't have only daredevil thrill acts. We have a beautiful contortionist. We have dancers. We have Sufi dancers. It's a particular dance of Turkey. You know, the spinning. It's a spinning lady. We have the Badia Brothers. They play the strong man in the circus.
Yes.
Two tough guy, you know, hand to hand like this, very strong. So it's, we have fire, we have thrill, we have poetry.
We have knife throwers.
Oh,
death to us part
I keep
from
them
UK.
As a surprise.
Oh.
It's Rachel and Charles. They are
amazing.
They are a bit more than amazing. They are funny. They bring the laugh in the show.
Oh yes.
You know, I'm not in the, when I create the show, I never thought about comedy because I'm not a funny guy.
Mixing comedy and danger, it works
and
really
and when
well.
I got them for the first time, I thought, well, they are the thrill because Rachel goes on the spinning board, you know, it's a very old circus trick, and her husband is throwing knives on her, not on her. I mean, he avoids the body, but he throws the knife in her direction.
I've got to tell you, there was a show recently at another theatre, the Illusionists, which had the bow and arrow, and there was it happens, and there was a mishap, and he shot her on stage in South Africa. They shot her. They shot her on the head. She's fine. She's fine. They had to rush her to stop the show. Because they shot to each time.
My brother do it.
Yeah. So you shoot the bow, and then it hits the another bow, and then it just goes.
Yeah.
And then it hits her the apple on top of her head, and it slightly missed the apple and hit her head. Here in.
So I mean, there is
This is daredevil.
You know, it is real. It's totally real. And these knives, they're real. You know, Rachel is in big danger, but you know, we're professionals, so.
But it is professional. But the fact is that
it's danger.
It's
but that's what you're all
stuff.
Coming to see, you know. So we strive to entertain with keeping you on your toes.
Yeah, our very special guest in studio. This is CliffCentral.com. We had Nick Rabinovitz, the comedian, earlier on. We have Adam Howard, the director of the Johannesburg Big Band. He's performing very soon with Joseph Clark. We've got the guys from Cirque Infernal, and I want to just bring this up because I think it's so important to just discuss so many different aspects of the theater, of comedy, of music, of entertainment, of food. We do it all here on The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. I want to talk about the Shakespeare Schools Festival. And on the line, I'd like to welcome Ksenia Filanova Britton. Did I get that right?
Almost. Good morning. It's Britton.
Britton. Firstly, yes. Congratulations. I mean, in May you started this Shakespeare School Festival. And I love, because Shakespeare we had the guys from Macbeth in here last week, and we spoke to them, and I brought up, I cannot wait to see the groundbreaking performances that you're doing and what you're doing with Shakespeare. And, you know, we can talk about phenomenal death-defying accents in Cirque Inferno, and we can talk about big band, and we can talk about comedy, and we can talk about big international artists and acts as we do on the show. But Shakespeare is something so wonderful that people can appreciate across the board. Dorothy Ann Gould is working with homeless people, and they live on corners, and they do Shakespearean acts, and they raise money that way. I think that's incredible. And I love the fact that besides that you're getting schools involved in this, that in this particular Shakespeare Schools Festival, you are working with the De La Butte School for the Deaf with their moving version of Romeo and Juliet in sign language. And then the Pioneer School for the Blind, for the visually impaired, is also doing another Shakespeare production. What production are they doing?
Pioneer School was doing Macbeth. It was performed in Cape Town earlier this year in May. And like you mentioned, De La Butte School for the Deaf also was a very moving, very emotional performance of Romeo and Juliet. You know, what these children achieve when, sure, you know, when we look at their, I like to call it differently, able rather than disabled, and giving them opportunity to be part of our festival, which is inclusive, and we welcome any interested school. So for us to see the achievements of these children and the bravery and how they, what we call sort of beat the bard, you know, and beating all the odds of, you know, their physical disabilities or learning difficulties and coming and being part of our festival and falling in love with Shakespeare, it's really just amazing to observe.
Well, I must just tell you, I think it's great to see that that you're getting schools involved. How does the festival work? How many schools? And what can we expect when you come to Johannesburg?
So Johannesburg opened this Tuesday, and we have 20 schools performing their 30-minute abridged versions of the plays at Joburg Theatre every night. So you can, you know, you can look forward to a wonderful variety of different plays in one evening. And we have schools coming from different backgrounds, primary schools, high schools, schools coming from Soweto. Last night we had an Adeline Tambo school for the physically disabled children performing Romeo and Juliet as well, which went beautifully. You know, the girl that played Juliet has kind of missing one of her legs, and the way that they've cleverly put production together, you could hardly notice of the physical disability, and I think it was just, you know, amazing to watch. Yeah, and for the rest of the week, we're running at Joburg Theatre until Saturday, and then also in parallel, we're also running it in the Playhouse in Durban the same week at the moment.
Well, I think this is really cool because I've got to tell you, just happening upstairs at the Joburg Theatre, at the Mandela Theatre, is Cirque Infernal. So you've got this incredible big Cirque show up at the top, and you're having Shakespeare with the schools, disabled or differently abled kids, blind kids, deaf kids. Isn't that the magic of the theatre?
It's the magic of theatre.
It's the magic of...
It's where it's happening.
What inspired you to do this, Ksenia?
Pardon?
What inspired you to do this, this festival?
I guess my sort of my bringing, my journey with theatre. So I was born in Russia, so originally from Siberia, and I grew up in St. Petersburg. And I was fortunate to be born into a family of actors. My mom is an actress. My father was a director of the youth theater in Russia. So my entire childhood and my life was always about live theater. And I actually debuted as a little camera appearance of Little Viola of 12th Night alongside with my mom when I was 3 years of age. So my journey with Shakespeare started at very early ages. And then I moved to South Africa almost 24 years ago. And I started this project just with a passion for what the theater space can do for the children and for sort of self-development. And I think Shakespeare being such a beautiful vehicle to bring those children into the theater space, is just inspirational to see how the kind of the umbrella of Shakespeare unites all these wonderful, beautiful, young, talented school children coming to professional theaters like Joburg Theater, like Baxter Theater in Cape Town, all our partners at theaters offering the space for the children to, you know, to conquer and to beat the bard on the stages and fall in love with theatre as a medium and just develop it and master their acting skills as well.
Ksenia, I'm very proud of you. This is phenomenal. It starts, it's in Durban at the moment. Of course, we go around the world, this particular show. It's in Durban, and it starts on Tuesday at the Johannesburg Theatre. I wish you really well. I cannot wait to come and watch some of these magical productions. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Such a pleasure. Thank you very much. And that is Ksenia Filanova-Bruton. Lovely. We had people on the show from Sweden, from the UK.
Is she Italian? Filanova?
She's a Russian.
Okay. She's Russian. Villanova. Yeah. All right.
We've had Nick Rabinovitz, the Jew from Cape Town. We've had Lebanese introductions to the show.
What about you?
I'm South African with Lebanese descent. So we've got a whole bunch of people.
Mashallah.
Mashallah. Habib.
Habib.
Yeah, beautiful. And that is really, really cool stuff. I want to just thank Nick Rabinovitz for joining us in studio. Adam Howard, 23rd.
23rd of September at the Sun Arena Times Square. Tickets at CompuTickets.
That's the big band is going to be magic.
Big band.
With Joseph Clark.
Joseph
of course.
Clark.
And follow the big band because there's lots of other things you're doing all over the
show. Exactly, yeah. You can like us on Facebook, but yeah.
Cirque Inferno, you open tonight.
Tonight, 8 o'clock until the 23rd of September. Check the dates. Tickets on joburgtheater.com.
Please, joburgtheater.com. Don't miss this show. It's going to be great. Thank you. Thank you, Shelley and Danny, for being with us in studio. And, of course, this is the magic of what the show is about. Before I leave you, I've got to tell you about this. It's called Alpha Code. Win an entrepreneur package worth 2 million rand with Alpha Code. Alpha Code is inviting applications for its previous Alpha Code Incubate program that seeks to identify and award high-potential, innovative entrepreneurs to boost and develop the fintech and financial services industries in South Africa. 16 businesses will be invited to pitch for 8 places on the Alpha Code Incubate program. The final 8 businesses will compete to a customer's 12-month program with the benefit from the entrepreneurial package worth 2 million rand each. The package consists of 1 million rand of grant funding, 1 million rand worth of support, including mentorship, monthly expert-led sessions, exclusive office space in Sandton, marketing, legal and other business support services, as well as access to RMI networks. The first round of applications closed this Friday, the 7th of September. That is tomorrow. And please, terms and conditions apply. Go to the cliffcentral.com website for all that information. I'm telling you, do not... Guys, 2 million bucks... You've got to enter this thing. It's called Alpha Code. Do not miss it. Go to cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. It's been a great show with you today. I must tell you, it's been really, really fun. I wish you the best day ever. Enjoy the theater. Enjoy the Cirque. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the food. Enjoy life, because that's what it's about. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
This is cliffcentral.com.